What just happened? We go out. There's black. It's still Good Friday. We're in the tomb. We come back in. And it's time for resurrection. I often find myself wondering around this time, when did the stone get rolled back? I mean, we know it was sometime before sunrise on the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, the first day after the Sabbath. When did it happen? We sit here this night in the dark, in the night, anticipating that moment when Jesus is raised. What just happened? And if you were here yesterday, being a Good Friday Christian, we saw how Jesus gave his life on the cross, how he was tried, beaten, crucified, how he died and was laid in the tomb. And as much as I am a Good Friday Christian, I know that Good Friday doesn't make sense until the resurrection. That's when we know that it is indeed real. But how does this all work? Have you ever wondered that? How is it that Jesus takes away our sin? That Jesus gives us new life as he rises so that we can be forgiven, redeemed, made new? How does that work? I'd like to try to explain that. So get ready for Christian Theology 2. Christian Theology 1 we had just a little bit earlier. That's God the Creator. This is God the Son. I need three people to help me out. So three volunteers. I'm going to choose you if you don't volunteer. Okay, Elizabeth. And let me see who, Amanda. Come on up. You know you want to come up. And let's have, okay, Rose. So let's see, not typecasting or anything, but you take these. You take this, and you need to put that on here. Okay, and you are just a regular, everyday person. Okay, so you can stand right there. Perfect. Okay, and you're good. Okay, so there are several theories of atonement. Like, we're the Lutheran Church of Atonement, and you've always wondered what that means, right? What does atonement mean? It means at-one-ment. How do we become at one again with God? So the first one we'll deal with is the Christus Victor, or the ransom theory of atonement. In this theory of atonement, people, human beings, are captive to sin and death and the devil. And the devil, of course, okay, so we Lutherans, we like to think we're a little more refined. We don't necessarily think of the devil as the little red guy with ears and the pitchfork going around, you know. Okay, we think of the devil as evil in human form, right? Evil incarnate. We are fallen human beings. We struggle. We are captive to sin and death and the devil. And through his death on the cross and his resurrection, Jesus is the victor, overcomes sin and death, conquers the devil so that we are freed and liberated from the clutches of evil. See? Thanks. You're being perfect. The smile is, yeah, perfect. Evil incarnate, right there. All right. The next one is satisfaction theory. Okay? So satisfaction states that human beings fall short of God's standard. God is perfect. God's intentions are perfect for us. We know what God wants for us, yet we mess up. We break the law. We fall short of God's intention, and we owe this debt to our sovereign God. How can we overcome this chasm? How can we give the sacrificial offering to overcome this division that we've created? Well, we can't. So God sent Jesus to be that perfect offering, to satisfy what we cannot do. satisfaction theory. Easy, right? There are two others here. Let me make sure I got this right. Okay. This next one is kind of where we gravitate as Protestants. It's called moral influence theory of atonement. God makes us right by giving us this perfect example of Jesus, who would sacrifice himself, show what sacrificial love is all about, become for us the epitome of the human being. Perfect. Giving of oneself, serving, loving one another the way that we're supposed to love one another. And through his death and resurrection shows us how that happens and paves the way for us then to be influenced, to be made right, so that we can love in the way that Jesus wants us to love. And the last one is the substitution theory, or the penal substitution theory. That is, when the law gets broken, there needs to be an accountability. People need to be held accountable. They need to be punished for what they have done wrong. And in the penal substitution theory, Jesus, instead of allowing us to take that punishment, Jesus takes that punishment on himself so that we are freed then to live redeemed, to be forgiven. So those are the four primary ones. There are others. I'll spare you. All four of these, you can see, are just a little bit different, aren't they? And at times in church history, each of these has kind of held prominence. Like, this is the way. This is the way Jesus did it. Well, instead of deciding which one, we just decide to use all of them. Because they all carry a certain amount of truth for us to understand this mystery of how God has overcome the way that the world gets messed up. The way that we mess up. The way that we fall short. Have you ever thought, I could be better? There is more. I could do this better. I could be more. Have you ever thought that? This story that we have shared tonight, the death and the resurrection of Christ says, yes, you can be. And I will show you. When Jesus rises from the dead, when the stone is rolled away, he comes back on Sunday morning and says, I want you to live redeemed, forgiven, renewed. It's time for you to live, really live. What we celebrate on this holy week, in this holy weekend, on this Resurrection Sunday, is the new life that God has given for us to follow in the path where Jesus has gone, that we would live, truly live, in the way that God intends for us. Started back in Genesis, didn't it? Everything that God made, it is good. In the resurrection, we see God's plan to keep on making it good, even in spite of human failing. God makes it good again and again. Live. Amen.